This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Broadus is the president of Preservation Piedmont, and Gina Haney is the vice president, and they both join me in studio to talk about preservation in Central Virginia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for being here. Let's start with you, Brian. Give us a little bit, Brian Broadus 101, and how you found yourself working with Preservation Piedmont.
I came here to go to graduate school in architecture. I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, which is one of the nation's great success stories in preservation. And in fact, it has the oldest preservation ordinance, if not in the world, in the United States. So I had a pretty solid belief that preservation and city life could go together and work out very well. Coming here to graduate school, I pursued both a graduate architecture degree and one in architectural history. So it was a natural process for me to go into work in preservation architecture. That is, kind of specialize in preserving buildings and giving them new uses.
Wonderful. And Gina Haney, how in the world did you wake up one day and find that you were working with Preservation Piedmont?
Well, I also went to graduate school here. I have a degree in architectural history. I also grew up in Greene County and in an older building, and quickly saw the value of that building to my family and Stannardsville, which is where I grew up. And after I got my degree from UVA, I went on to do some work for USAID, the Agency for International Development, in West Africa. I lived there for 2 years and managed a cultural resource project. And after that, I went on to work for an Islamic nonprofit in Egypt, the Aga Khan Trust for Culture. And then came back to Charlottesville to get married and kind of settle here for a while, and got involved in the local preservation scene and with Preservation Piedmont.
So, Brian, tell us, what is Preservation Piedmont? A nonprofit that does what exactly?
Well, we have a number of different goals. We administer grants that we obtained to help preservation along, and some of those are to help homeowners. We've given one out to help some homeowners who qualify for tax credits actually file for those. These are preservation tax credits that are available from the state of Virginia for historic properties. We have also given out grants to the Martha Jefferson Neighborhood Association and the Greene County Historical Society. So that's one effort. Second, we monitor and advocate. We advocate for preservation ordinances. We advocate against demolition of historic buildings. So we have an advocacy role around here as well. And we show up at the BAR meetings here in Charlottesville and Planning Commission meetings in Albemarle County. And we hope argue the side of preservation.
Let me ask you this, because I was at a city council meeting eons ago. Really, gosh, it was at least 10 years ago. And Lee Danielson was there, who gave us the ice park, and Lee Danielson and Colin Roth gave us the ice park and the movie theater and the first mall crossing. Now it's the first mall crossing at 2nd Street. And I remember him saying at a meeting, well, you know, I'd like to do this and this and this with such and such a building on the downtown mall, and it's going to require demolishing most of it. And he said, but, you know, it's not historic anyway. It's just old. And there's a lot of people that feel that way, whether you're in development or you're not in development. So what's your response to that? Why the heck should I worry about keeping this old thing up?
Well, part of what we see is old. There are plenty of old buildings in Charlottesville that don't qualify as historic. But it happens downtown as a historic district, which depends on what the jargon labels contributing structures. Buildings that in and of themselves are not singularly exemplary of a kind of architecture. There's no Monticello on the downtown mall. But if you took away some of the kind of ordinary structures that have some age with it, to have some age to them, the downtown mall wouldn't be recognizable as a distinct place anymore. So those structures are called contributing, and taking those down, it's like taking the teeth out of someone's smile. Eventually, you notice it.
And this is what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, where you're from.
Right.
They very aggressively said, we don't care if Washington slept here or not. We're going to keep the old buildings. It was a decision that was made years ago, controversial then, sort of controversial now still. But yet, what has been the end result for Charleston?
The end result for Charleston has been nothing short of spectacular. It's become a setting for an international music and arts festival in part of this. My parents still live there. During the 90s, the property values in Charleston, South Carolina, rose more rapidly than they did in any other city in the United States. Savannah suffers, I guess, from the same problem. And I also say, we'll point out that Charleston's preservation ordinances were rather narrowly drawn until about 1960, when the city actually approved the destruction of some important public buildings to make way for a Sears that was actually a pretty popular place for me to go to when I was a kid. Sears downtown, it was pretty neat. It's surrounded by parking.
But they tore it, and
in the 60s, that was a great thing. But they tore down an old orphanage and a church that dated from 1712 to do that.
Wow.
And that was really the trigger for Charleston, and really one got the sense that the city'd suffered fires in 1839 and 1860 and hurricanes, and now they were about to do themselves in. So from that point on, Charleston really became a place to preserve, and aggressively. Charlottesville has a Board of Architectural Review that can be difficult to navigate, but Charleston's BAR is at another level. So
you mean much more stringent?
Much more strict, much more vigorous about keeping buildings up that someone would like to tear down.
Yeah.
And not apologetic about it.
Now, is it the recommendation of Preservation Piedmont that we have a BAR here in our community that is that stringent?
No, I think the BAR does just fine with what it's doing.
So we don't have to go to that level to have an end result that is still admirable and still sets an example
of
preservation.
Exactly. What we would like to see, of course, is the county to have a BAR similar to Charlottesville.
So right now the county has nothing like that?
Nothing like that. As I mentioned a little earlier before we were on the air, if the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Foundation wanted to tear down Monticello, we don't think they want to do that. But if they did, there's no law that would prevent them from doing that or even delay their doing that. So that's unusual in cities and municipalities that do have a large stock of historic buildings. Mirador, say, out is owned by a private owner and is a fine private house. And I have no doubt their owners are intending to keep it up forever. But if they wanted to knock it over tomorrow, there's really nothing that would prevent them.
We're talking with Brian Broaddus and Gina Haney of Preservation Piedmont. Gina, what do you say to the folks who do say, look, if you own that house, you own that land, that's your house. Thomas Jefferson Memorial Foundation wants to tear down Monticello, that's theirs. They own it, literally. They can tear it down. It's not just a libertarian argument. I think it goes beyond that for many people. For a lot of people, it's just a freedom argument, and I should be able to do whatever the heck I want to do with my property when I want and how I want.
Well, as preservationists, we look at the larger cultural landscape, and all of these individual houses, barns, outbuildings, whatever you have, all contribute to that. And we see that, you know, as Brian said, slowly eroding away or plucking teeth out of a landscape such as the one we have in the county is detrimental. And we understand the private property rights argument, but we do see the larger issues of the cultural landscape and kind of the holistic approach to community and history.
Brian, the decision in the early 1970s by the Charlottesville City Council to create the downtown mall, extremely controversial. The records show that many architects, well-informed, well-read architects from the university, spoke at city council meetings and recommended against it, thought it was a horrible idea. A lot of business owners hated the idea. Again, a freedom argument. I should be able to have my customers pull right up to my store and park just like they always have. They should be able to drive right up to my store, not park in a garage two blocks away and have to walk and find my store. And yet, I think the jury is no longer out on our downtown mall. It was one of the greatest economic development decisions made in the history of this community and has been an incredible boon to Charlottesville, to the whole area.
In that case, that was actually a use of public land. So it was a really public debate about what we would do with the public right-of-way, which was the sidewalk and the street. And, you know, not having been here when the I came here in 83, so it was a few years after that. Not having been here during that time, I mean, there was a lot of solid belief that malls were going to fail like this. And most malls, most cities that have installed the malls, like Charlottesville's, have taken them up. But here, Boulder, I think Colorado has a good one. I think Winchester, my wife went to Winchester recently. I think Winchester now has a pedestrian mall, and everyone seems to think these are going to be successful. So it was probably a pretty sound decision to dislike it, but boy, it has worked out. It's worked out great.
Yeah.
And we only wish that there had been more buildings. If you look at the old Charlottesville streetscapes, the ones that show, you know, soldiers marching off to the Holsinger photographs, that
right,
kind of
right.
thing, marching off to World War I or whatever, you discover that, you know, Charlottesville's Main Street, where the mall is now, was a lot richer architecturally before the 1960s and 70s. And a lot of really good buildings were taken down. The Miller and Rhodes, or the S&L building, excuse me, not the S&L building, the building at the corner of 4th Street where, gosh, Red Light Management is.
Well, all of Vinegar Hill was raised.
Right, that was raised.
And that had a, you know, store, a street on Main Street. There were buildings that went all the way up that hill where the Omni is now. And then down West Main Street, all of those are gone.
The old, what I refer to as the old Miller and Rhodes building that was for the National Bank Operations Center for a while. And that building was built in 1956 and took down, you can see the photographs of the demolition of it, a spectacular old building. I was the architect or worked with the architect restored the Wachovia, what's the Wachovia Bank downtown. And in order to get a picture of the back of the Wachovia Bank, which no one ever takes back pictures of backs of buildings, we found a photograph of the 1956 demolition of the Presbyterian Church that used to sit on the corner of 2nd and Market Street.
Yep.
Beautiful building.
Near Lee Park, right?
Right, right. Beautiful building, but they'd moved out on Park Street, and you know, now it was more valuable as a parking lot, but we'd really like to have that one back. And the Baptist church that burned, too.
Brian Broaddus and Gina Haney with Preservation Piedmont. Gina, I got a couple of minutes left. What do you say then to the county? Let's just assume they're not, because I know they're in a meeting, but let's assume the entire Board of Supervisors is listening. What do they need to know about preservation in the rural area? If we have a BAR and we have the sensibilities in the city to recognize that there's real money value in keeping some of these older buildings around, what do you say then to the county where they don't have any of that legislation? The public policy is not in place that would share that view.
Well, you're right, Coy. It's preservation is a very smart and savvy economic way of economic advantage to the county, I think, because you have the only privately owned World Heritage site that's listed as a cultural site, Monticello, in the country is in Albemarle County. And to combine those with many of the 18th and 19th century houses that exist in the county is a sure, you know, economic development tool for any government body. And if they just saw the value of that and therefore went ahead and developed an ordinance which prevented the destruction of, yes, perhaps vernacular buildings that people don't see as old or historic, as well as the major monuments in the county, there would be a great package that would really complement Charlottesville, and I'm sure that they would see economic advantage to that.
And what a wonderful place to do it, where Monticello is leading the way and a great example that the county could be for the nation.
Exactly.
For doing something like that.
And also the University of Virginia has done quite a lot in particular recently in preserving its historic fabric. And didn't used to be quite the way they treated it. So they too are taking a real leadership role in preservation. And it's a component of what's become a real trend now, and that's sustainability. That is, when we recreate a building or we tear a building down, we lose all of the energy that was put into the original creation of that building. And that's just an argument for keeping it up as well.
Brian Broaddus and Gina Haney with Preservation Piedmont online
at http://avenue.org/pp.
There you go, avenue.org PP. Thank you both so much for being here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.